All right. So, today is the last day of that Vision cast, and when we look at the finalizing of the vision that God's plan has for us here at Streams, and we get a deeper look into God's plan for believers across the world, I think that it's easy to get wrapped up into, you know, our mission Sunday and, you know, well, I put money in the missions envelope and I give that and, you know, okay, yay, I'm doing something missions. But it's really difficult to understand it without actually knowing anything about that. It's easy to, you know, write a check to some kind of restoration fund for Guatemala or to even go sometimes. Some people continually go back to Guatemala over and over again, over and over and over again. They become part of the family over there. They know them by name. They, you know, they know which street to turn left on and what turn right on, and they kind of know where to go and stuff. And, but there's more to that. And it's a lot bigger than even just those things. So what I'd like us to take some time to learn about today with the vision is where we started and where we're ending. Okay. When we started this course, we focused on efforts to love people and how this mandate relates to efforts to demonstrate God's love for his people. Today we summarize this with complete understanding that what we are being called to will not be easy, but actually inversely. It will challenge you. It will be difficult. Loving people is not just here. Loving people is not just, hey, it's easy to love you. You love Jesus too. We can love each other. This is easy. And it's not just loving those people that you meet in the store, that you don't know their name. It's real easy to do that too. You'll never see them again, maybe. So it's easy to give them love of Jesus Christ. They say, you know, oh, I don't need to hear about that Jesus. Well, okay, well, God bless you anyway, and then you are on your way. And it's, okay, well, I love God's people. That was easy. Sometimes we don't get, like, is this resonating a little bit? Have anybody, like I did that yesterday. I loved some unlovely person at Walmart, and they were not very nice and kind to me back. And I'm like, okay, well, God bless you anyway, and, you know, moved on. I wasn't being mean. I was just trying to spread a little love of Jesus, but, you know, not everybody receives, and that's okay. But it's still not challenging or hard. So what could I possibly be meaning that this is going to be difficult? Well, let's investigate that. So let's start with Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. And this will shed some light. So therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless, pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. First and foremost, when you go back and you start out, we are encouraged, and my translation doesn't say work, it says walk. Walk out this salvation. Walking actually is an action. I have to walk in order to get over here. I cannot just and teleport. Okay, I have to lift my feet up and move them forwards and take steps in order to progressively walk in a direction. Okay, so walking in generally is actually known as an outward progression. You're making an effort to move towards a destination. So if we're encouraged to walk out our salvation, that means our salvation should be outwardly progressing towards something. That means that it should not be shelled up inside of you and left alone and bottled up for no purpose or use whatsoever. Now, we've covered this. We've talked about how salvation isn't just for you. It's for everybody, right? That's the whole mandate of loving people, right? We love people because they need to know the love of Jesus, right? That's the goal. That's the objective. That's part of our mission, all right? But then why, then, are we to do this in fear and trembling? Last time I checked, those weren't two nice words, right? You don't think of loving people and then go, but with fear and trembling. Like, I associate fear and trembling with, like, horror movies, okay? Which I don't watch. I don't subscribe to that garbage. But, like, I don't enjoy being in fear and having to tremble in fear. That's not like a, ooh, God wants me to be in fear and tremble. Yay! This is a good day. I'm excited for this. Does anybody else feel that way about it? I mean, if you do, that's okay. But what does that mean? What does fear and trembling actually mean? What is God illustrating or demonstrating here about being in this fear and trembling state? Is it because of this is something that God Almighty is calling us to do? Because God's a big God, right? This is our King, and He's given us this. Is that what it is? Is it because it will actually test your faith on whether or not you actually are going to do it? Do you actually believe what you profess that you believe enough to actually do it? Does that cause us to get checked in fear? Or is it because we know that when we do this, we're going to meet resistance? Or is it all the above? How many love that answer on the test? D, all the above. You just go down on the test you didn't study for, D. You get a 50. Alright, well, it wasn't too bad. Could have been worse. It's all the above, right? We know that, right? It's all the above. It is all the above. God is sometimes quite frightening. Why? Because He is so much grander and so much bigger than we could ever think of or imagine. What He sees, what He does, how much He can stretch and far and wide the expanse of God is just like, let your brain wander there for 2 seconds and then you're just going to go boom out into space. Because that's just how magnificent our God really is. And that can be scary at times. Okay. The fact that you're going to be tested in your faith. It's going to be a test of, well, are you or are you not? Well, then you get that check. You're like, uh-oh. I've been saying all this stuff about my faith in Jesus, and all of a sudden now I'm getting called out on it. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Time to up my game. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Wait, you said what word? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Somebody's saying, oh, you're not supposed to use those languages. I thought you were Mr. Good Goody Two-Shoes Christian. You're not supposed to say that word. Uh-oh. Right? We don't want to get called out on our stuff. And then that resistance, we're always afraid about what other people think. Constantly concerned about what everybody else is going to say, what everybody else is thinking about you. We worry about stuff that we're not supposed to worry about, but lo and behold, fear and trembling, right? So let's dig in a little bit more in Philippians. Going back a little bit, one chapter, Philippians 1, 27 through 30. Give us a little insight. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. This letter is addressing some deep issues about whether or not you're going to be real about what you believe or not. How about that? A letter that was written so many moons ago finds relevancy with a body of people still to this day, because the problem was not something that God wasn't arresting or dealing with, but the problem is innate in our nature. There's something innate in us that continues to hold on to fear.
And in this, what's going on? Well, first and foremost, what I'm getting out of this is that guess what everybody here is going to have to deal with or not? They're going to have to suffer. So get used to it. What kind of suffering? I don't know. I'm not the orchestrator of that. Thanks be to God. But I do know that, guess what? I have my own stuff, so don't give me yours. All right? But I do know that everybody is going to have to suffer in some form or fashion for Christ's sake. Why? Because Christ told us you were gonna. He didn't say, oh, by the way, come to me and I'll make everything good and you'll never have a problem for the rest of your life. Did he say that? No, he didn't.
He didn't promise us that. He did not promise us that. He actually promised us the other side. He said, these things that they'll do to me, they will do to you also. Because you wear my name. See, and here's the issue. What I tend to think has happened, and I don't blame us. So by no means is this an accusation against you. I don't blame you. I actually don't. I don't blame you. I blame the nation. Because unfortunately, this nation, as much as I have pulled out that dollar and explained how, you know, in God we trust. Oh, that's not it. That's a note. You know, I pulled the dollar out and it says, in God we trust. This dollar has changed so drastically from the original modifications to where God's barely even existing on this dollar anymore. They have quarters that used to have the face towards God. Now the face is facing away from God. Because the reality of it is this nation has turned its back on God. Yet even in that, all the stuff that this nation has decided to do to kind of annex us and remove us from God and all that stuff, we think, man, it's tough being an American citizen and having to be a Christian. Man, I'm persecuted here. No, you're not. You don't even know what persecution looks like. Dylan, can you roll that clip, please? I'm going to show you some persecution. We're getting there. The play button disappeared, I think. There we go. China. But sometimes
United Church. We'd love for you to join us. We are one church, one family.
Now, I encourage you to actually just go there and take a look at their list. You don't have to donate, you don't have to give or do anything like that. If the Lord leads you to do that, then do so. But the information that's on that will open your eyes to countries that to be a Christian, just to be a Christian and profess your faith in Jesus Christ, puts a bullet in the back of your head. And it's not where you think it is. It's not where you think it is. Do you understand number one on the list is North Korea? Number one. The most persecuted group of Christians live in North Korea. Yeah, they make up less than 1% of Christendom worldwide. That's true. But how would you feel if you were part of that less than 1% that lived in North Korea? It wouldn't be an easy job. It wouldn't be easy for you to proclaim your faith. It wouldn't be easy for you to sing in the streets and shout Jesus. The challenge level would rise to magnitudes beyond your reach, and maybe beyond our even our understanding. Persecution is actually what suffering really is. Understanding the persecution of Christ, understanding how he was persecuted, what he bore, what he went through, was an illustration of visual, actual persecution that we, as believers, taking on his name, taking on his mantle, would have. And that showed, because if you go through and read Acts, these are individuals that proclaim Christ right after they put him to death and he rose again. They continued to celebrate and sing and announce the name of Christ. And what did they meet? They were stoned in the streets. They were martyred. They were killed for their Savior's name. But we have freedom here. We have a freedom that has been given to us beyond measure because of things that our nation, our founding fathers, decided to do. But we're quiet. Why? Why are we quiet? Why are we so silent when something like that is going on in nations around the globe? The Church of Christ is not just the church in America. Missions is not just an American effort to give out of our abundance. Okay? We need a wake-up call and a call to arms. Christians are being persecuted. Our brothers and sisters are being attacked, and mainly on the pretense of what they believe. We here have a freedom unlike any other, but rather than use that freedom to share the love of Christ, we remain silent. Silence in the midst of punishment and death. Do we love enough to actually cast down fear? 1 John, don't need to put that up there. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We have a responsibility in this mandate of loving people that love is not a fear-ridden love, but a perfect love, because our responsibility is that we need to cast out fear and restraint. We cannot be held back and quieted up because we're afraid that they're going to go and say mean words to us. You have been given a freedom unlike no other in this great nation to speak freely and not have actual persecution, because there are laws that govern this nation that said you have the freedom to speak in your freedom and your religion. You have a freedom to your religion. You have a freedom to speak. They've been given to you their constitutional rights as an American citizen. You don't have to be afraid. In this wonderful nation, there's no reason for us to be afraid because of things that our founding fathers have done. We don't live in those nations where we have to be bound up. They deal with the reality of fear, the true nature of persecution, what it actually looks like. So what should we do then? Philippians 1:15-21. Go ahead, Dill. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When we sit and read through the encouraging words that are on that line of scripture, you might leave and go, well, then the ultimate goal is to be a martyr. I'm going to die for Christ's sake. That's not what he's saying. Let me set that record straight, okay? That's not what he is saying. But here are some things that you can take down and note that this is what's being said. First thing we have to understand is that we are responsible for the message that we bring, but we are responsible for one thing importantly, above all other things. We bring the message. Okay? We're responsible to preach Christ. If you have the knowledge of Jesus Christ dwelling within you, you have the responsibility to share it. End of discussion. Paul didn't care about how you shared it, just that you shared it. End of discussion. Share. Why aren't we sharing? Why are we not speaking? Why are we not talking about what God is saying and what God is doing? Why are we not sharing and testimony what Christ has done for you? Even if the only thing he's done for you is saved your soul. Why aren't you telling anybody about it? Preach Christ. What else? The outcomes of this should only continue to bring forth more of the message. Oh, what does that mean? Well, if you're persecuted for it, then you should be telling everybody about how you've been persecuted for the name of Christ. What does that do? It just furthers the gospel of Jesus Christ. It just continues to support the message. It doesn't stop. It just drives us more and more to do so, right? And even if that end of that persecution ends with death, so then you become a martyr for Christ's sake. What do you think happens when somebody is persecuted to the point of death for Christ? He was talking about that in that video. When somebody gets squeezed to the point of that, it births even more life out of it. Because out of that death, more people rise up to testify of what Christ has done. What else are we encouraged to do out of this? We have to recognize that, again, we are light, and we have been told to take that light that dwells within us and bring it into the darker realms, the darker places. That means that, yeah, you're going to go talk to people that aren't going to want to hear about what you got to say. Okay. Should you stop? No. We're not supposed to stop. Okay? We must stand for Christ and His righteousness in the midst of a perverse and wicked generation. The fact is if you look around, yeah, the generation now doesn't got it all going together. No, they hate the Lord. They hate Jesus. They don't love Him. That's fine. That's their choices. Are we supposed to just accept it and go, well, they have the rights to do that. I don't want to impose. I don't really want to offend them. I'll give you a lot of testimony in Scripture about how Jesus offended a lot of people. Mainly those who were stuck in religion. Truth. Okay? He came to bring an offense. He actually did. He came to have mother and daughter, father and son, at odds with each other. Why? Because if they're going to just agree because, well, they're a family. But it was at the division of what the core foundation of belief was, whether or not this was of God or this was not of God and the practices were contrary to. Christ was going, no, God's bigger than that. Loving people is going to stretch our vision to see past this building. We have to start getting out from these four walls. That's the first step. And I don't mean, okay, well, when you walk out the door, oh, look, I did it. I didn't stay here. You kicked me out. I had to go out the door. Don't be literal. No, stop. Okay? We have to see past this building. But then, we have to also look beyond this state. Look, New Jersey is screwed up. I'll be 100% honest with you. And if it continues in the direction it's going, guess what? It's not going to get better. Newsflash. How many people think California's going really good? You understand that that's going to be New Jersey soon if it doesn't change? Who's going to change it? Who's going to change it? Are you waiting for another elected official to come in and say he's going to do a bunch of great things for the nation and the state, and he's going to help us out? Yay! And then you find out you're just a liar, like the last 27 guys who came in here and said they were going to do all these wonderful things. Yay! Or are you going to go, well, I'm not going to elect a liar, I'm going to elect the other guy who's not a liar. And you go to find out, they're both liars! So who's going to change it? Or are you going to keep relying on a person to fix something that is not able to be done by them? It's something spiritual. There's a spiritual issue in this nation. There's a spiritual problem in the state. There's a spiritual issue that if we don't attack with spiritual people and confront with the power of God and truth, it's not going to change. But then if we can get that taken care of, we can start to see beyond the state. We need to start seeing outside of this nation. We need to start opening our eyes to a reality that maybe that woke you up for the first time. Maybe you never knew this. Maybe this was news to you. You didn't know about India. Maybe you didn't know about Pakistan and Syria. Because all you do is watch the news and, well, Muslims are bad. Terrorists are Muslims. And we don't want to hear anything about them. They're bad people. So Syria's bad and Iraq is bad and Pakistan's bad and all these nations in the Middle East are bad. And then you go, wait a minute, there's Christians there. There are people that love Jesus and are actually being killed in those countries because they do. Because their people and their government don't want you spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ because, after all, they're afraid. They're the ones who are afraid. We have to love the body that is actually suffering right now in ways we may never understand. We have to love our enemies, and we have to love those who persecute us. That's what the Bible tells us to do. It's not the easy thing to do, but it is what God tells us to do. We do not love what they do or support the evil that they conduct. Please understand, I am not aligning myself with terrorism. I'm not aligning myself with those who practice terrorism. But I have a responsibility to still love the sinner, not the sin. And if you think that terrorism is an act of human effort, it's not. It's a demonic spirit that is prevalent in a religion that professes a God that tells them that killing is good. And that murder is acceptable. And rather than lie and fight that back with violence, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to love them. And that's a hard thing to do. And that might challenge a lot of you right now. Because you want to stand on these pretenses of, well, but they do these things and they don't do this and all this stuff. I don't care. That's not what God told me to do. I'm not supposed to raise a finger. I'm not supposed to harm a hair on their head. I'm just supposed to love them. That's not easy to do. But we must never let the sin separate us from loving that sinner. The message of salvation is actually built for the sinner alone. Remember where you came from. Remember the person who preached Christ to you. You, as a sinner, not knowing Jesus, needed the salvation message brought to you so that you could come to the Lord. So that you could accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. The salvation message isn't just for us to renew our faith day in and day out, but it's actually meant for the sinner. And guess what? If you think you're done sinning, I'll see you tomorrow at church. Because you're going to need to repent, right? Because you're going to find yourself right there. Because we make mistakes, don't we? So does that make us any better than any other human being on the planet? No. The only difference is that we understand the salvation message and its provision for our life. But they don't. They haven't heard it. They need to hear it. And they need to hear it from you. We have to get this message of salvation out. We need to testify and give thanks to Jesus Christ for his wonderful redemption that we are partakers in. Let us never forget the message by actually living the message every day before everyone. If we go anywhere as a group together in this church, understand it will always be under the mandate that we love God, we love people, we love life. But what we are focusing on is how we need to start loving people. And that love starts with loving those who may not love you back, who may not say nice things to you, who actually may want to hurt you, who have been mean, unloving, unkind, threatening, all those harmful things that they've come to you. But do not fear, but cast down fear with perfect love for that person, that they need Jesus and you can deliver Jesus to them. Because you have Jesus within you. Hate to say it, it seems really redundant, but this is Christianity 101. It's the bare basics of sharing our faith. But honestly, have we really been doing a good job? Let's be honest. Have we? Have we been doing a good job? Or no? Have been worrying more about what's going on in my life. I got a lot of problems, Pastor. You don't understand. I got a lot of things that I got to get fixed. I got bills that I have to still fix. I got an indebtedness, and I got broken stuff in my house, and I got, you know, all these wonderful things going on in my life that are just draining the snot out of me. Well, they're going to keep draining the snot out of you the more you focus on them. The more you give them attention in life, the more they're going to keep taking out of you. The second you give everything up to Jesus and you recognize he's the author and finisher of your life, you recognize the only thing you need is him. You don't need anything else. Everything else is just stuff. Just a bunch of stuff. But we have to be more focused on getting the message of Jesus Christ out. And so our vision, what we're planning to do, I'm not saying exactly how God wants to do it, because to be honest with you, my expectation is that we've already been doing this. But God's giving us a firm direction to go out and start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to anybody and everybody. Doesn't matter who. You have something good to share. You have the good news of Jesus Christ in you, and you can share it. It doesn't take an educational lesson. I don't need to have to sit down and reread the ABCs of Jesus, do I? Does everybody know how to accept Jesus Christ? Do you remember how you accepted Jesus Christ? Okay. That's all you need. You don't need anything else. Maybe a Bible so you can leave it with them. That's the only other recommendation. Alright? Just come equipped with an extra Bible. If we need to get Bibles, I'll get Bibles for you. I don't care what's necessary, but I don't want us to not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because we're afraid of what somebody's gonna say. Amen? Amen. So, at this time, I just would like, if somebody can let the kids know, in the back, just let them know, because I want everybody to come out, for the next step